I talked to you a little bit about, right toward the end, I mentioned a scripture in Ezekiel, and I told you that sometime I might go ahead and share that, what the Lord showed me there years ago again, and I'm going to do that, I think, today, because I've kind of been taking a look at that again, and I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into it. And the title to this sermon will be Ezekiel, his name, means God will strengthen. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're looking for anything else to strengthen you, you're going to miss it. Because there's only one person that can really give you true strength, and that's God. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you right now. I ask you, Lord, to help me to share this word that you've laid on my heart to in simplicity and give people ears to hear what you would speak unto them. And Father, I just thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. And I ask you to help us to not only see this word, but to begin to move into this word and become this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. You know, years ago, a lot of years ago, the Lord let a book let a book fall into my hands that a brother had. And this book told the meaning of numbers. You know, when you see numbers or amount of things in Scripture. And, you know, I passed out a paper that had a lot of those numbers on it, and I've given it to anybody that wants one, you know. And over the years, I've given out a lot of them. And, you know, I've come to realize that God's Word is pretty much perfect. I mean, a lot of people try to say, well, there's a mistake here, there's a mistake there. I don't believe there is any mistakes. I believe God's got in here in the Bible exactly what he wants in the Bible. A lot of people are starting to pick up other books that were excluded from the Bible originally, but I honestly believe that God is a sovereign God, and basically when he had them put the books that are in this Bible, the different books, it was the right ones that needed to go in there. And you know, in the book of Ezekiel, like I told you, his name means God will strengthen. And Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1, I'm going to read it to you first, and I'm going to go back over it. It says, now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, I was among the captives by the river Kabar, and heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Okay, years ago, when I looked at this scripture, the Lord really started dealing with me about this. And I'm going to talk to you, first of all, about those numbers there. You know, very seldom does the word tell you exactly when something happened, okay? Because it's telling you here the 13th year, the fourth month, and the fifth day, okay? So I'm going to tell you, out of the reference to that book that guy that I got a hold of years ago, and since then I've seen other books, and other people have started writing things about this, but I'm going to tell you what that means, first of all. In the 13th year, 13th year is a time of depravity and rebellion. Okay? The fourth month, that meant that that basically had the meaning to reveal to the creation and the world. Four is the number for creation and the world. And it was also the fifth day. Five is number for the grace of God's goodness. Even in the midst of a time of tremendous rebellion and depravity, you know, God was going to reveal to the whole world His grace and His goodness. And you know, I can almost tell you that to a certain extent, our day looks like this. Because a lot of this stuff is going on. In this country alone, there's a tremendous amount of rebellion going on in the political systems, in a lot of things. You know, people are very rebellious. And, you know, I'm going to tell you why. It might look like, you know, I mean, I've heard people say things about that they think that there'll be another civil war and there'll be all kind of things, you know. We don't worry about those things because we know our God. And I'm going to tell you what, I believe that we're in a situation here, and I'm going to read that to you again, that whole scripture there. He says, "And it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month of the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives," and there's a lot of captivity in our country today. People are captive to a lot of terrible things, you know. And by the river Chebar, Kabar, I think you pronounce that with a K. "And the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." You know, we need to pray and ask the Lord to begin to open the heavens to all of us so that we can actually see exactly what He's doing. You know, and when He said, "I saw visions." Now, Kabar, first of all, let me tell you what that means. Kabar has a meaning of the length of the space of continuance of time joining. Okay? There's a scripture that says that he that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. So you have Ezekiel sitting by this river. That's the meaning of that river. He's sitting in a place where God is basically saying that he's going to take care of space and continuance of time, and there's going to be a joining. And he was joined to the Lord as the heavens were open, see? And that word where there is, "I saw visions." And that word for visions there, there's other words that in the scriptures that mean visions. But in this particular scripture here, it meant I had mirror visions. Mirror. That's a little different there. And you know, when they translated the scriptures, they didn't know how to handle some of these words. I'm going to be straight up with you. They put them in there, but they didn't know how to handle them because they didn't really understand some of the things that today we understand. And when you look in the mirror, who do you see? You see yourself. And I'm going to tell you what, and he said, "I saw visions of God." And the word for God there is not the word Jehovah, it's the word Elohim. I saw Elohim. And you know, there's a scripture, and it's been quoted different times, and it's been spoke on different times. In Psalms 82, where basically this, when this was written, it says, "How long, O God, Elohim, will you allow the earth to be out of course?" And it goes on, and it let me read it to you real quick. I wasn't planning on reading it, but I'll go ahead and read it to you real quick because I might as well, rather than talk to you about it. Here's what it says out of the King James in Psalm 82. Okay, it says, Elohim, that's God. Every place in the scripture where it says God, it's the word Elohim. "Elohim stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the Elohim. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Shelah," take notice. "Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, you are Elohim, and all of you children of the Most High, but you shall die like men, like Adam. That's a word for Adam. And fall like one of the princes. Arise, O Elohim, judge the earth, and thou shalt inherit all nations. So I'm telling you what, when Ezekiel was having this encounter with God, God was showing himself right inside of him. And you know, this was before the scriptures in the New Testament were written, where it says there's a mystery that's been hid from ages and past generations in Colossians. And it says, and this mystery is simply this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? And Paul said, this we teach every man, trying to present every man mature in Christ. And that's what he said his ministry was all about. Now, over the years, a lot of times, people will quote those scriptures, but they don't believe them, you know. And you know, when he said he had visions of God, and then he was by the river Kabar, and I told you it was a length of space of continuance of time. It was a joining together. And 1 Corinthians 6:17 says this, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You know, the heavens were open and I saw visions of God, and that was mirror visions. And when it said God there, it is the word Elohim. Okay. In Ezekiel 2, it says this. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year, there's five and five again. And I told you the meaning of five is the goodness of God's mercy and the goodness of God's grace, basically, is what it amounts out to. And he said, Jehoiachin, it says, in the fifth month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, five is the number for grace of God's goodness. Jehoiachin means Jehovah or God will establish. Think about that. Just in those names there, that's what, if they had translated the meaning of these actual names and these actual words, that's what this scripture would be saying. But I tell you what, they didn't know how to handle it. So they brought it down on an earthly level. But that's okay, because there's always three levels of Scripture. There's the level of the earth, the fleshly level. There's the level of the soul. And then there's the level of the Spirit. And I tell you what, I want to start understanding the Scriptures on the level of the Spirit. Because when we start understanding on that level, we'll be changed into that very image that God wanted man to be in to begin with. Praise God. You know, the actual thing that God said when he created man, and I got news for you, back in Genesis, the word that they used for God back there, if you read Genesis chapter 1, where it talks about in the beginning God created and all this, it's the word Elohim. And Elohim is a plural word. It's not a singular word. It's a plural word. And you know, Jesus one time, he was preaching and telling the people that he was basically the Son of God. And he said to them, he says, doesn't your own scripture say, I have said, you're gods and children of the Most High? You know, so even Jesus was saying this, see? So this is not just something that we're trying to dig up here, but this is what Jesus said, to whom the word of God came, he said, okay? So let's go a little bit further. In verse 3, It says, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kabar. And the hand of the Lord was upon him. And that word for the hand there is means the really has the meaning of the open hand. And you know, I've preached this years ago, and Clyde has quoted me a few different times, but I told him, when God puts you in a position or has you do something, hold on lightly. You know, because he's got you in his hand, and no man can take you out of his hand. But if you try to hold on too tight to something and God's ready to move you out of something into something else, guess what? You're going to be in trouble because he's going to move you. Praise the Lord. The word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of Chaldeans by the river Kabar. And the hand of the Lord, the open one, was there upon him. And the word for Lord there is the word Yahweh. And that's where they get the word Jehovah from too. So it's talking about Jehovah, God in his most, and that appears 5,321 times in Scripture. It's a lot of times, ain't it? And Ezekiel 1:4-14 says this, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Now the word whirlwind, you would think it would be like a tornado, is 232 times it was translated spirit, not whirlwind, spirit, okay? And it says it came out of the north. The word north in Scripture, if you look it up, means literally, it means the hidden and the unknown. Okay? It's not north, you know, north as we know north. But that's what it really means, the hidden and the unknown. The glory, and there's a scripture that says it's the glory, and this is out of Proverbs. It's the glory of the Lord to conceal a thing, to make it hidden and unknown. But kings honor to search it out. You're kings and priests unto God. We should begin to search out the things of God. We need, the word declares, study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm going to tell you what, a lot of times scriptures, the way you read them, if you study into them, they're so much greater and stronger even than what you're reading on the page. And what you're reading on the page is great a lot of times. It'll work for the fleshly man. And sometimes it'll even work for the soulish man. But I'm going to tell you what, if you really want to know the truth a lot of times, you need it to work for the spiritual man. Praise God. And it says, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but a king's honor is to search it out. You know, when it talks about the cloud there, it says usually it speaks of the glory of God and the fire enfolding itself. You know, enfolding itself. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this is their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, or the resemblance of a man. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. Four is the number for creation and the world. When you see the number four, that's what it's talking about. And their feet were straight feet, and the soles of their feet was like the soles of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. Now, you know, having worked in a machine shop, Mark would know this too. We had tools that you could use that were called burnishing tools. So we know what burnishing is. And a lot of times we used to do some jobs down at my brother's shop that had a small hole in them. And it had to be super smooth in that hole because hot plastic would flow through that hole. And if there was any irregularities or anything in the hole, it would catch that plastic and clog the thing up, you know. And they used it for injection molds and things like that. Well, all that burnishing tool was some bearings that went around this bar. And when you stuck it in there, you made an adjustment to it to push the bearings out to where they rubbed that bore as you went through it. And then you'd go through it and you'd take it through it real slow and then squirt oil in there and stuff, and then you'd tighten it a little tighter. In other words, what you was doing was creating friction. And after a while, that burnishing tool would make that hole super smooth. And I got news for you folks. In your life, when all these problems happen, all these sicknesses and all these troubles and all these things that you're saying, oh my God, can anything else go wrong? Guess what? God is allowing the burnishing tool to be in your life. He's not there to punish you. He's not there to beat you up. But what he's doing is he's taking all the rough spots out. And not only is he taking all the rough spots out, he's going to polish it to a point to where it is really polished, smooth, and brightly polished. Now, let's go on a little bit farther here. In verse 7 it says, and their feet were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of a calf's foot. I could have went into all that, but there's so many things in here, I just really didn't want to do the whole thing today. Like the color of burnished brass. Okay, now I'm going to tell you, I've over the period of times of working in a machine shop, I've had times when I had to grind brass and then maybe even polish it. And if you polish brass to a really high polish and you allow the sun to hit it, it has the tendency to act like a prism. And what a prism does is it breaks down light. And if you're working on something and polishing it to a super high polish and the sunlight hits it, and you look over on the wall, guess what you're going to see? A rainbow. All the colors of the rainbow. Because when God allows you to be burnished, and brass talks about judgment, and the judgment is not to bring condemnation on you, the judgment is for you to learn to trust God in the middle of the burnishing, in the middle of the polishing, in the middle of the trouble. And when you trust Him in the middle of all that, it's going to go a lot faster, the results, the shining. And I'll tell you, the more you polish it, the brighter it's going to get, and it's going to break down the light. And it goes ahead and it says, their feet were straight feet. The word for straight there is a word that means right or righteousness. It means pleasing to God. And I'm going to tell you what, He's bringing you to a place where His righteousness is going to be seen in you. Not your righteousness, His righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own. He imparts His righteousness to us. Well, how He imparts it is when we go through the problems and all the things that rub us the wrong way and all of those kind of things, then we become pleasing to Him because we trusted Him. We praised Him in the middle of it. You know, praise the Lord. It says in verse 8, it says this, and they had hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they had their faces and their wings. Verse 9 says this, their wings were joined one to another, and they turned not as they went. They went everyone straight forward. Remember that word straight means right and righteousness. And also means pleasing God. And it means straight is the gate. The scripture says straight is the gate and what? Narrow is the way. And I tell you what, we have to go through the straight gate. And the straight gate is all of the things that rub us the wrong way, all of the things that do all this stuff, and we trust Him in spite of all that. Praise the Lord. It says, in verse 10, it says this, and as for the likeness of their four faces, now listen to this, they had the face of a man and the face of a lion and the face of an ox, and they had the face of an eagle. Okay, now that sounds like some weird creature. But I'm going to tell you what. If you go out and you commit a crime, okay, and they get your fingerprints, they can sometimes find you. If they get your DNA, sometimes they can find you. But if they get your face and they plaster it all over the TV and in all the towns and everywhere around, guess what? They're going to find you. Because your face is your identification. It's who you are. And what God was saying here in this portion of Scripture, He was saying, I'm going to bring forth a revelation. And I'm going to reveal myself with the face of a man. Scripture says, we have the knowledge of God in the face of who? Jesus, up in the New Testament. And that's why a face of a man had to be first there. And then the face of a lion. Jesus was the lion of the tribe of Judah. And I'm going to tell you what, a lion's called what? Is they called the king of what? The king of beasts. And I'm going to tell you what, he was the king of kings when he came. He was going to reveal the nature of the lion. And then the next one was the face of an ox. And an ox was used to labor. You know, back during when they plowed fields and stuff, they hooked them up to an ox. An ox pulled and did all the plowing and all that kind of stuff. A lot of times after they made the harvest, they'd let the oxen go in and walk all over the grain. Why? Because they'd break the hard stuff off that the flour, the heart of the grain could be seen then. And then that last one was the face of an eagle. Okay? We know that in Scripture, in the Old Testament, it says, and in certain Scripture it says, about Israel, he said, and I bore you up on eagle's wings. And this church here was called originally, it was the first, at first it was called Elmwood Tabernacle. Then after that, they changed the name to Wings of Deliverance Temple. And then we changed the name later on to Wings Christian Fellowship. And the scripture that all of that came from was in Isaiah chapter 40. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we'd sing, teach me, Lord, to wait. Well, you're going to wait whether you learn it or not. If you don't learn it, you're going to have to go over it again and again. Brother Eddie used to talk about tests. He said, you know, if you have a test and you don't pass it, what happens? You get to do it again. And if you don't pass it then, guess what? You get to do it again. And if you don't pass it then, you get to do it again. And that keeps going. So a lot of times, But we also have to realize there's a scripture that says the trying of our souls is more precious than what? Than fine gold. That's right. So when you go through a test, which a lot of us sitting out there are going through some tests right now, and I'm going to tell you what, the sooner we acknowledge the Lord, the sooner that we thank the Lord, the sooner that we begin to praise the Lord in all those situations, the sooner we'll pass the test. And let's go a little bit farther now. And it says, and thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every were joined one to another. They had four wings. Two covered their bodies. And when they went straight forward, whether the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not as they went. And as the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. There's your fire again. You can't get away from the fire. God's going to keep you in the fire until He burns all the impurities out of your life. And like the appearance of a lamp, it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. What is lightning? It's flashes of light. And when, you know, if you're out in the dark and it lightnings, guess what? It lightens up. Everything gets light all of a sudden, you know. And it's flashes of you being able to see things. And it's also the power of God. And the fire went forth lighting. And the living creatures ran and returned as an appearance of the flash of the lightning. Now, I'm going to share another scripture with you. And if you think that this doesn't apply to you today, here's what I'm going to tell you. You're wrong. Revelations 4, 1 through 11. John said, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was open. And that word for door means a portal. And I'm going to tell you what, a portal opens up, boy, you can go through it. And a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice that I heard, as it were, of a trumpet. And anytime it talks about a trumpet, it's talking about a message. It's talking about telling you something's going to happen, telling you that you need to listen up. If you're in the military, they get up and they blow the trumpet in the morning, and that tells you get your tail out of bed and get out and get to work, you know. But anyway, but when you hear a trumpet, it's talking about a message, a warning or something like that. And if you was in the cavalry in the old days and they blew the trumpet, that meant charge. A lot of times, you were supposed to charge. And Israel used a chauffeur type horn. It was a ram's horn, and they blew it. And boy, I went to a convention one time, and these old brothers come in with a horn about this long, all crookedy and everything, and I thought, what are they doing? I didn't really know that much about a chauffeur at that point. And they started blowing that thing during this conference. And every now and then they'd get up and start blowing that thing on me. And you know what? It was exciting when they blew it. You knew something was about to happen, you know. And I'm going to tell you what, that's the way it is with God. There's always something about ready to happen. And it says a trumpet with, let me read that to you again. It said, and after this, behold, a door was open, or a portal was opened in heaven. And the first verse which I heard, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look on like a jasper and like a sardis stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne. So that meant there was some dispersing of light. Understanding. It was where you could see it. See light for what it was. In the sight like unto an emerald. I will tell you this. When I was in science, I used to really like science, and they'd come up with all kind of weird stuff when I was a kid. They didn't have all the technical stuff they got today. But I seen them one time take a color wheel, you know, that had the colors that was in the rainbow on a wheel. And they took this thing and they had it on something where they could spin it. And when they spun it very fast, you know what happened? It became white. There was no color there. And it was showing you how light is. And when light hits something like that brass and it diffuses it on the wall, you see all the colors of the rainbow. And you know, God, and around God's throne, there's always that rainbow because it's a dispersing of His light. He wants you to see the light. He wants you to understand what the light is. He wants you to see it and to understand it. And he that sat there up upon like a jasper or sardis stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne there were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. If you take the apostles, how many were? 12. You take the original sons of Israel, how many were? 12. How many is that? 24. Praise God. 24 is the number for priesthood in Scripture. Whenever you see 24 of anything, it's talking about the priesthood. And it's talking about the royal priesthood. It's not talking about just a priesthood. And it said, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. You know, Margaret, we was over at Cracker Barrel a few weeks ago, and we was going out the door, and I pointed out there was this cross sitting there. That I don't know if it's crystal or if it's just, it might be plastic, I'm not sure, but it was crystal looking, and it was cut with all these facets on it, and it was breaking down the light. You could see all these different colors in it, and it actually looked like it had a battery or something in it, but it didn't. And I told her, I showed it to her, I said, look at that, isn't that neat the way it's doing that? She said, oh yeah, it is. I said, you want it? She says, yeah. Well, she's got it at the house now. If you walk in my front door, it's just sitting over there. But it but you know what? It's like crystal. When the light hits it, any light hits it, it starts making all these colors because it diffuses the light. It said, and in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were the 4 beasts, full of eyes, before and behind. Hebrews 9:28 says this, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation. He's not coming back to deal with sin anymore. He's already dealt with it. In Ezekiel, a man, then a lion, then an ox, then an eagle. Okay, that was the order that those faces were. Those same things are in Revelations, but they're in a different order, not the same order. It says, and the first beast was like a lion. It's not a man anymore. That's because when he comes a second time, he's coming as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And what's that song we used to sing? He'll break every band and give to us the victory again and again and again. Praise God. And the second one was like a calf. And the calf is like an ox. See? That meant you're going to have a servant's heart. You're going to have the servant's heart. You're going to want to serve. That's going to be your whole goal. And the third had the face of a man. Okay? And the fourth was like a flying eagle. Wasn't just the face of an eagle, but a flying eagle. Now, what's the difference between a regular eagle and a flying eagle? A flying eagle soaring in the heavenlies. And he's not only soaring in the heavenlies, he flaps his wings two or three times, and he catches the thermal, and then he's just soaring up there, and he ain't put no effort into it. He's just soaring around. And what kind of vision do eagles have? You know, when somebody's got really, really sharp vision, what do you call them? Boy, you got eagle eyes. You tell them, you got eagle eyes. And when an eagle gets up in the air, guess what he can see? Everything. Because their vision is so great that if there's something hundreds and hundreds of yards away, or even maybe even half a mile or whatever, I don't know what the actual vision in the natural is, but if a little twig in the grass, and it's something that eagle can eat, guess what? It'll see it. It can swoop down and get it. Me and Margaret, we watch the eagles on bypass 4. As you come up bypass 4, if you look over to the right as you're coming away from Route 4 out there, on the right-hand side of the road, if you look over, there's a big eagle's nest right back there. And sometimes the eagles are there and sometimes they're not. They're bald eagles, you know. And we're always keeping tabs on them. You know, we're always looking back there. And one time we looked back there and they had a tree that wasn't real far away from the road, but it was kind of far. And there's all kinds of water down below there, and that tree got rotten and it fell. And I told Margaret, I said, I wonder if somebody knocked that tree down. I wonder what happened to eagles, you know. I wonder where they're at, you know. And I was really curious because I know the spiritual significance of an eagle, see. And then it wasn't too long, and a tree back behind it, farther back, had this big old nest in it, and there was an eagle sitting up on the branches. So that didn't disturb them at all. They just built another nest and went to another tree. Now, I will tell you this. When we built this church, when we were building this church, And I told you, we used to sing that song a lot, you know, years ago, and everybody that's been around here a long time would know, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they'll mount up with wings as an eagle, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. We used to sing that almost every Sunday, you know, just about. And, you know, that was kind of the theme of this church here. Well, anyway, when they were building this church, I'd come down here every so often, me and Margaret, and we would check to see what was going on, you know, what progress they were making or whatever. And when they put the roof on the building out there, you know, the second building, as you walk into the other part of the building, I would walk around the building to see what they had done, and they'd just put the roof on there. And they had the paper that they put under the shingles, but they didn't have the shingles on it yet. And I walked around and I walked to the back and I looked up right at the corner of the building and there was an eagle sitting there. And I kept looking at it and it just looked at me and I looked at it and then we looked at each other. It never did go away. It just stayed up there. And I felt like the Lord was saying to me, son, this is going to be a place where eagles gather. And I'm going to tell you what, he wants you to be eagle saints. He wants you, that thing that he saw, it had two wings in Ezekiel, had two wings. Two were down at its body side, two were raised. And those wings touched the one that was next to it and the one that was next to it on this side. Wings are significant of, we always used to sing, Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings. And we would sing the praise song. I can't remember exactly how. Rise and soar through the sunlight rays, using both your wings of prayer and praise. And mount like eagles higher in the sky. And you'll find things look so different as you fly. And boy, they do. And I'm going to tell you what, if we will raise the wings of prayer and praise to the Lord continuously in all situations, in all circumstances, what will begin to happen, things will look a whole lot different. They might look gloomy. They might look impossible. They might look a lot of ways down in this realm. But when you get up into that realm, you begin to see it from an entirely different light. And you can trust the Lord in an entirely different way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It was the flying eagle and the four beasts. Each of them had six wings here. Now back there it had four wings. Four is the number for creation in the world. Six is the number for man. So what the Lord's telling me here is that this is going to come for a revelation to man. And man is going to be set into a position of being set free. And it said, and he that sat on the throne who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they do what? They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. Praise God. But I want you to understand, folks, there's even in the Old Testament, a lot of people say, oh, the Old Testament, it doesn't matter. Oh, it does. It does matter. Because I tell you what, Ezekiel, his name meant God will strengthen. And Ezekiel, even later on in Ezekiel, I taught through it one time. Later on in Ezekiel, he tells you about the temple and everything around. He gives you all the dimensions of it and everything else. My God, when I studied into that, it just blew me away. Because it told the whole story of salvation and creation and everything. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't think Ezekiel's temple in the natural was ever really built. So it was a spiritual plan. And I tell you what, it's a plan that involves all of us, and it's going to touch all of our lives. Praise God. If you all will stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. I'm going to pray that the Lord give you understanding of this, and if you don't understand it and it blew past you, just let it go and don't worry about it. If it ministered to you, receive it, because God will bring it back when it's time for you to understand it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you all praise, I give you all glory, I give you all honor, because you alone are worthy of it all. I thank you, Father, that you created all things. You created us, and nothing can touch our lives unless you allow it to touch. But what we need to do is we need to trust you in the middle of all situations and circumstances. And if we'll trust you, we'll learn valuable things in you. We'll learn how to move and flow and to see your glory in the earth. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Father, that you want us to lift those wings of prayer and praise. And you want us to take the two that are by the side of Ezekiel's thing. You want us to take them and praise you, even when the wings are down. And Father, I want you to just help us realize the truth of this word. Help us realize that you were revealing that you were going to come in the form of a man first, and then the second time you come, the first thing that was mentioned, you were going to come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we used to sing that song, the Lion of the tribe of Judah shall break every band and give to us the victory again and again and again. And that's what will happen if we'll just trust him. thank you for what you're going to do. I ask you to bless your people. Give them ears to hear what your Spirit would say. And we'll be most careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, because you alone are worthy of it all. In Jesus' name we pray. And I will say this, today is, in the natural, is Palm Sunday. And I guess, yeah, it seems like it's Palm Sunday. Next week's Easter, isn't it, right? And Palm Sunday, Palm Sunday was when Jesus came into Jerusalem. And, you know, he told his disciples to go over to a place where two ways met. Two ways. There's always two ways. There's your way and his way. I tell you, his is the best. Yours is the worst. And when they went over there, he said, when you get there, you're going to find a donkey or an ass. That's what he called it. Whereupon a man never sat. And he said, loose him and bring him to me. And I'm going to tell you what, if you've ever seen a rodeo and seen somebody try to get on a horse that ain't been broke or on a bull that ain't been broke, it ain't too much fun. And there's a lot of things, and I think what he was really saying to us is that we all have asses or donkeys in our life that need to be ridden. And the only way those, what happened when they found that donkey and brought it to Jesus, they cast their garments upon the donkey. And when they cast their garments are the garments of praise. We had a song we sang there too. I have put on my garments of praise. I have put on my garments of praise. And the spirit of heaviness shall fall from me. I've put on my garments of praise. But they took their garments and they laid them on that donkey. And then not only that, but the people went before Jesus and took palm leaves and broke them off and put them on the ground. And the donkey would walk on the palm leaves. And palm leaves speak of life. So when what was actually happening, Jesus was riding that thing and it wasn't even walking on the earth. It was walking on the palm leaves. It was walking on life. And when you can't ride the donkey in your life, or you can't ride the wild things in your life that you don't have control over, he can. But he can only do it as you put your garments of praise upon it and cast your life in front of it and let him walk on it. And I tell you what, when he did that, then the people began to holler, Hosanna, Hosanna. And it was, open me up. It had the meaning, if you look at it, open me up, Lord. Open me up to your highest. And that's exactly what he wants to do, is open you up to his highest. Praise God. Father, thank you for your word. It's truly marvelous, and your word is perfect. And I ask you to just bless your people as they go forth. Let them have a wonderful week. Keep your hand of mercy and love upon them. Help us all to praise you in all things and all situations. And help us to pray without ceasing. And when we pray without ceasing, that means to keep him ever mindful in your mind. You know. And begin to ask him, what would you have me do in this situation or have me do in that situation? And I thank you, Lord. And I ask you to just bless your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, wonderful week. Anybody wants prayer? Be glad to pray with you.